Hello, and welcome back to Multiform, an Xbox podcast. This is episode 53. I'm Tim Shelton, and this week I'm joined by Gus Harden.
Hello.
So let's start, as we always do, with what we've been playing. And Gus, you go first.
Yeah, I have less to talk about, it looks like. I have been playing The Division 2 a little bit, not a whole bunch.
Did you play the new content?
No, I just kind of got back into it just to get my feet wet and then re-familiarize myself with gameplay and everything. So I haven't done a whole bunch in it. I spent most of my time playing Madden, of which I complained to you and Spencer about the glitch that I've run into that I've encountered. It happened once at the beginning, like literally the first day that I played it, on my QB1 face of the franchise thing, the very first game that I played, what happened was I played all right. I won the game on this first one. And what happened was at the end of the game, it went into, so the game clock said end. It was the end of the game. Clocks were all at zero and the game wasn't over. So I don't know what triggered it. That I think there was like a penalty or something on the kickoff that triggered this. And so basically what happened was they had returned the kickoff and they were just sitting there at the
they meaning the AI.
Yeah, the AI was just kind of sitting there for the whole time. And there was no game clock, there was no play clock either, which means that the play clock couldn't run out, resulting in a turnover for me.
Because the game thinks it's over already.
Because the AI thinks the game is over already. And so I realized that actually wouldn't have mattered even if they weren't in possession of the ball, because the same glitch happened to me again tonight before I came over here. Before I went to dinner, I was playing Madden, and I finished a game. I played really well. I scored like 51 points. And the game was, well, sorry, I should say I scored like 44 points. And then I scored the extra touchdown after the game was already over and the clock was just at zero, because I was trying to see how far I could take it. And so I scored another touchdown after the game was already over, and it counted the points and stats. But the game wouldn't end, so I just had to quit out of it.
Wait, so you could have kept playing and just like ran up a score of, you know, 1,000 or
whatever? Not really, because so as soon as I would have hit that kickoff and sent it back to the AI, they would have just sat there. And then the game would have officially just been like,
oh, because the AI is active because
the game's over. So
you just get one extra possession for no reason.
Essentially. And I did that. And because you can't simulate to the end of the game because the game's already over. The game is at the end of the game. So you just have to quit and then lose everything and just redo it. So it's only happened twice, but it's just particularly frustrating. I will say the first time it happened when I was on my QB1 face of the franchise mode is my first time like really playing the game, so I didn't play particularly well. I still won the game, but I just didn't play well. And the next game I threw like 7 touchdowns and like played way better, and I was like, oh, that's fine, I'll take it. But this time I was just kind of mad because I already played really well and I didn't want to have to go back through it, so I just quit and contemplated life.
That's a really weird bug. You have to imagine they're going to patch that, because if that's widespread, then that's a big one.
I would say, oh yeah, that's huge, especially if it's happening during competitive play.
Yeah, imagine if that happened online and neither of you can do anything.
Yeah, exactly. So
it just goes on forever.
Yeah, it's like you have to, one of you has to concede the game and lose and take that loss stat. Whoever, basically for me, it'd be whoever blinks first. I would just let it go. I would just let it sit. I'd switch over to Netflix like on like my TV and just let them quit finally, and then I would take the win.
This reminds me of the guy that kept the Halo 2 servers alive by not turning off his Xbox for months and just staying in the queue.
Staying in the queue.
I feel like that's you with Madden.
That would have been me. Yeah, trying to do
that. You can't play any other games. You go buy a second Xbox so you can win that one game.
Play my 360 instead. Yeah, so that's what I've been playing recently.
Speaking of 360, that actually is a perfect segue. I pulled out my 360 like we were talking about.
For the file share?
Yeah, to set up my file share for Halo 3, Halo 4, and Halo Reach. And a couple of things happened. First off, I didn't have any of the Halo games installed. And because of that, the DLC maps were the ones that I used to build some of my custom maps.
So you didn't have access to them?
And I didn't have those installed on my console, so I had to sit there and wait for 360 download speeds for all the map packs to download. Jeez. So that I could use them to put my maps in the file share. After all that work, I came to find out that I had next to nothing in Reach or 4. All my good stuff was in Halo 4. built on, they were like a blank slate kind of sandy map that they put in one of the later map packs that was like a really great Forge arena. And I built a really big map on that. And I had some other custom stuff, game types, screenshots, all that. I went ahead and threw it all up on the file share, but really there was just one map that I really wanted to save. So I got that all done. My wife saw me pull my Xbox 360 out of the closet and she's just like, you should get rid of that. You never use it. And I'm like, what? I'm using it right now. What are you talking about?
Yeah, literally, this is about to get some use, about to get knock some dust off of it.
I also played a little bit more Destiny 2. I'm not really going to go into that. And I played yet more Wolfenstein Youngblood. Although the one thing I want to say about Wolfenstein Youngblood, because I feel like I've beat it up the last two episodes, is I feel like the reason it feels so repetitive, I've talked about that before, is because even though it's like pseudo open world, each open world is effectively just like one map. And there's six of them, or five or six, that you can fast travel to via the subway. So it kind of feels like there's only six maps, which if this were a different Wolfenstein game, it would kind of feel like there were only six levels, which is why it feels kind of low on content. Yes, you're revisiting them a lot, but there really is only six levels. They just have different missions and different side content and everything all into the one level. I'm not sure if they're bigger or smaller than the levels in the other Wolfenstein games, but that's why it feels so repetitive, is you're just visiting the same spaces over and over and over again.
Speaking of Forge and talking about spawning, I just want to do a quick segue into how when Forge you could basically create your own, like you'd have spawn points that you would put out there, and that's I always feel like Forge was just so ahead of its time.
Well, for console,
yeah,
definitely.
For console, because it's like for the modding community, that's always existed. But like for me, because like the Forge, using the Forge was essentially a mod in itself, being able to create whatever you wanted. Like I probably should go back in if I looked at my Reach file share right now. Holy crap!
Well, you should. You should pull out your 360 while you're waiting to win that.
I can't find my 360.
How do you lose a console?
I don't know. So. I know which box it's in at my apartment, but I don't know where it went. So it's been moved somewhere, and I need to find out where it is, because I'll be kind of mad if I can't get to my 360. So I need to figure out where it's at. But cool, because the file share is going dead soon, right?
So I'm not sure if they're shutting it down. They're just, if you don't
take it now, then you'll
never get it
on
Master Chief Collection. It's a one-time export. So if you don't move it, then you'll have to always visit it on 360.
Yeah, I need to do that, because I have so many maps on Halo Reach that I made that I am so proud of, that if I go back now, they'll probably be trash. But I thought they were awesome when I was in like 11th grade.
You should move them so they get imported, and when they put Reach on Master Chief Collection, you and I will go 1v1 on your maps.
On my maps. Most of my maps are set for like massive game types, though, so...
Oh,
they're huge, yeah.
The problem with me with the map stuff is I'm not like, I can build a really good map with like good flow, good like cover, good, you know, everything. I struggle with weapon and spawn placement. Like having good spawn placement and good weapon balance to where nothing's overpowered.
I like started turning myself into like a Forge like game mode master in 11th grade. I really do need to go back there and check these out. Hopefully they're still on there.
I mean, there was stuff in mine from like 2008.
Yeah, so I really need to do that now. Okay, so I'm gonna do that after this episode. I'm gonna see if I can find my Xbox.
So the other thing I played this week is Gears of War 4, and I was playing that because they have this thing called Road to Gears 5, and they have a bunch of challenges in Gears 4. Some of them are retroactive, some of them aren't. Mm-hmm. And if you complete those, you unlock skins and like boosters and different stuff for Gears 5. So I was doing that and just kind of playing Gears 4 after missing the tech test for Gears 5, kind of having a hankering to play some Gears. But the other thing that reminded me of when we're talking about Forge is I think Gears 5 has its own version of Forge where you can make escape maps, where you can, like, they have this thing, like the tool they use to build the tunnels that you can, like, snap it down. Hmm. I can't remember, because Doom 2016 had something similar. They had the snap map where you could make your own multiplayer maps. I could be getting games confused in my head, but I'm pretty sure Gears 5 has that for escape mode, where you can make your own like challenge escapes, and then once you get out of it, you can publish it for other people to do. But I could be, like I said, crossing my wires from E3 about another game. But I just remember this very vividly, being able to snap down stuff, and I just can't remember what game I played that was in. You want to move on to some news?
Sounds good to me.
So we're recording a little early this week, but there's actually been quite a lot in the news. It's been a really busy week. So I worry when we record early that we won't have enough content, but there's a lot to talk about this week. The biggest story, I think, is that the ESA, the Entertainment Software Association, put out like a press release or an interview or whatever you want to call it, and they said that starting in 2020, Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft will be disclosing loot box odds on their platform for basically all games. So you'll know what you're going to get or what your odds of getting something are when you buy a loot box for any game. Now, this press release specifically called out Activision, Bandai Namco, Bethesda, Bungie, EA, Microsoft, Nintendo, Sony, Take-Two, Ubisoft, Warner Brothers, Interactive Entertainment, and Wizards of the Coast as all publishers that are supporting this initiative. That's most of the big ones, but there's a lot that were not mentioned, like THQ Nordic, Deep Silver.
Supporting it.
Meaning they're doing it as well. Like, they're going to be doing it with their games.
That doesn't mean anything to me. All this is, they're still keeping loot boxes.
Well, yeah, but at least you'll know your odds of winning. And
it's dumb.
I mean, transparency is a step in the right direction. Although in our next...
I guess we talked about Madden taking a step in the right direction, but still being dumb.
Wait, I guess I don't have a problem with them being in there. I wish people wouldn't buy them because the money being invested in doing things to support that
look
takes away from the game.
If you want to put something in the game so badly and you want people to buy it and they have to get loot boxes to get it, just put it in the game and have people be able to buy it.
Direct purchase.
Directly. Stop. If you put a lot of time and effort into it and you want to make it one of those rare items, then charge more for it. Just
but the random
doing,
thing.
Yeah, stop doing loot boxes. I said this about Ghost Recon Wildlands. There are so many items I wish I could just buy that I can't because they're now officially locked behind loot boxes. And I'm just like, I don't. Like, it's just dumb.
Yeah,
like,
your odds of getting the one item you want, you have to roll the dice forever.
You have guaranteed money from me if I could buy it. But since you won't let me buy it directly, you're getting no money from me.
But every person like you, there's somebody else that is willing to
spend
$1,000.
There's some little child who's taking his mommy and daddy's credit card. Like, ooh, I'm playing the slots.
Well, and they probably don't have a concept of money.
They have absolutely none.
I just
got to
do it until I get it.
Exactly.
Well, then you'll like this next story. So Rocket League announced that coming later this year, they're removing loot boxes entirely from Rocket League and that all cosmetics going forward will be direct purchase. They're copying. Good. They were acquired by Epic recently, so they're copying the Fortnite model.
Sounds good to me.
I got to say, in Rocket League, it's particularly annoying because you don't buy the loot boxes. You get them as rewards sometimes for matches, but you can't open them unless you buy a key. So, like, I have loot boxes sitting in my inventory that I can't do anything with unless I spend money.
For it, yeah.
So the question is, the ones that I have that I didn't buy keys for, are they going to let me open those, or are they just going to disappear when they disappear?
That's odd.
I'm not going to buy any keys. And
now you can win them, though, can't you, keys?
If you grind, you can eventually get one key, but, like, I have a bunch of them. And to be fair, I want to say this. I've spent money on Rocket League because their game is priced fairly and they put out a lot of free content. So I've bought DLC cars because I could pick the cars I wanted and I could buy them, like the DeLorean and the Batmobile.
Yeah, I mean, I bought the Dionysian Bowl and the some other helm piece for my my ship in AC Odyssey because I thought they were cool and I play the game a lot and I can just buy the things
you know
that
what
I want.
You're getting for
exactly.
The money that
so,
you spent. But
I will
I'm not
going
to roll the dice to get a random box to not know what I'm getting.
I will say the front piece of the ship that I have, and there's a certain word for it that's escaping me, and I'm just not even going to try to worry about it.
Yeah, I know it's not helm, but
it's a word. Yeah, it's the front. It's the mast. Front. Yeah, it's like the that's the thing that goes up. But we digress. Anyway, in the picture, it looks like the Reaper is on fire, like his scythe is on fire, but in the game it's not. So I was duped, and I was kind of upset by that his scythe isn't on fire when I'm driving around on the ocean.
Somebody made some concept art before they made the final version. It caused the game to dip three frames per second.
I spent most of my money on the Helix credits on the bull, which is what I wanted to begin with, and I had extra, and I thought that looked cool, so I got it, and now it's not what I wanted. So thanks for nothing. Anyway, continue.
So moving on, Apex Legends has announced that they have an event coming next week on the 13th, August 13th. It's called the Iron Crown Collection Event, and it's going to be a solo mode for 2 weeks only. Apex Legends is going to have a mode where you can play solo. I think I've said this on the show before, like the biggest thing that deters me from playing Apex Legends is sometimes I don't want to play in a squad of three. I want to play solo. Now, the counter argument is, and I think Shroud was saying this on his stream the other day, the counter argument is some of the characters are not very well tuned for solo play. Like their abilities are specifically set to help other people. Like, for example, Lifeline, she has a quick revive feature.
Yeah.
That doesn't really help you in solo play. So maybe they need to retune some stuff. But I still got to say, I'd rather play solo and just have it as an option for when I want to. And then I can still play the trios when I want to. So I'm definitely going to check this out next week. I don't know if they're going to have like custom cosmetics as a part of the event, but I think that was part of it too.
Yeah, I saw not concept art, but just like some gameplay, like snapshots, and it looked kind of cool.
What do you mean snapshots? Oh, pictures from the game.
Mm.
Yeah. So Gamescom is coming up, the big European game show. It's a consumer-facing show, but it used to, a few years ago, have a bigger industry presence. There used to be like big Gamescom press conferences from Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo, kind of like how there is at E3. There's been a lot less of that in recent years. There hasn't really been big press conferences. But this year, there is going to be like a opening night live stream. Jeff Keighley tweeted this out. I almost said twitted. He said they're going to have something like 13 or 15 world premieres and big show announcements. And then he listed all the people that were making announcements in that show.
It's a pretty big list.
Yeah, and there's some big players, which this kind of makes me think that some of these are probably just like DLC, not new IP announcements. We'll go through the list and I'll give you a couple examples. 2K, Activision, Bandai Namco, Bungie, Capcom, EA, Epic, Google Stadia, Deep Silver, Private Division, Sega, Square Enix, Sony, THQ Nordic, Ubisoft, and Xbox Game Studios. So I doubt Xbox Game Studios is going to announce a new IP or a new game at this.
They did all that during E3.
It's probably going to be DLC for the We Happy Few or State of Decay 2 or for
just minor announcements.
Yeah, but some of these could be new games. Like Bungie obviously has a new Destiny expansion coming out, so that's not going to be a new announcement, but they could show new gameplay. 2K has Borderlands coming, so they could show something from that. I think most of these are probably going to be trailers for games that are coming soon. But they did say there will be world premieres, but the question is that world premiere trailer or world premiere announcement?
Yeah, Ubisoft probably has stuff coming from like Breakpoint, maybe something about The Division. But I can't think of anything because, I mean, all of the stuff is out for Odyssey already, so.
Yeah, well, actually, this week they did another, what's it called, the Tales of Greece or whatever, the free DLC?
Oh, well, yeah, but I mean.
It's just one mission.
Yeah.
Ubisoft also announced that their like lineup for Gamescom, and it was the exact same stuff they had at E3. They were going to have a video presentation for Watch Dogs Legion, which is what I saw at E3. They were going to have Breakpoint Playable, which is what they had at E3, and then the rest of it was kind of DLC and expansions for some of their other games. So it seems like they're just taking all the builds from E3 and rolling those to Gamescom.
Sweet.
So I'd say that to say that I don't think they're going to have any real new announcements. They're probably just going to show more gameplay of the things they've already told us about. So here's going to be Gus's favorite story of the week, Call of Duty Modern Warfare. So at first when I started and I wrote this story for the week, it was that Call of Duty Modern Warfare is going to have dedicated servers, which I think is the first time for a Call of Duty game because they've always been peer-to-peer connections where one person's the host and everybody else connects to whoever has the best connection.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's just that never really made sense to me because Call of Duty is such a massive IP that you'd think that they would have like dedicated servers for it, but and said they were just relying on like piggybacking off of other people's internet.
Yeah,
hoping
I mean,
for the best.
There's definitely a higher cost because you got to rent
It's Call of Duty. It's the biggest game franchise in the last 15 years.
Yeah, and like lag and stuff from the host has been a complaint since
then.
The launch of 360.
Yeah, exactly. So it's good. I'm glad that they're doing that.
So the more I hear about this game, the more excited I get. I made a little short list of all the things that are new in this Call of Duty that we haven't seen before that have me really excited. Cross-platform play, no season pass, so they're going to constantly roll out DLC. Progression carries across all three modes. I know Spencer's really excited about that one.
Yeah.
Operators are cosmetic only, so none of the like Destiny Supers stuff. Tons of weapon customization, and now dedicated servers. All of that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
And they have a new graphics engine too, so it'll probably also be
you could tell that from kind of the multiplayer gameplay footage that it looks really good. I mean, not only that, but just like the main trailer for it too. And the whole game setup of you flying. That's awesome. That's cool. Like
night vision multiplayer.
Night vision, like, which was a thing in Call of Duty 4, but none of the maps ever really warranted it.
Yeah.
So it's and if you did use it, it didn't really help that much. I remember Battlefield 3. No, I think it might have been Battlefield 4. Battlefield 4 had specific maps that were set at nighttime to encourage the use of thermal and night vision scopes because people never used them. So, like, it encouraged the use of flashlights and stuff like that and, like, stealth play during multiplayer. I never really played a whole bunch of it, but it was a cool idea, and it's cool that Modern Warfare is doing that. I think it makes more sense in a smaller, fast-paced style shooter like Call of Duty than it does for Battlefield. So I'm cool with that. And it's just like everything about it is just like they're all like little things that just make it look better. And it's like, I know it's still good. It's going to be Call of Duty, but it's just like whoever they hired to start doing marketing for all this. And like, whoever they had come up with ideas, like the little ideas, like flying in a helicopter, like your watch showing your current time, like of your time zone, is just like that. Those are the things you need to do. But that's what gets people interested, even if it's the same thing that it's always going to be.
Some of the stuff is well past due though. Like, the season pass and the
crossplay
and the dedicated servers, like,
season passes have kind of lost their luster. It's just kind of like, I mean, it makes sense, I guess. Like, if you're planning on releasing downloadable content, which most games do anyway, and so I guess it kind of makes sense to have that. I don't know.
But it fragments your player base.
Yeah, it's like it always to me has been, when I think of them announcing downloadable content before the game has even been released, has always kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. It's like, well, so basically what you're telling me is you're finishing half of the game, and then you're making us pay for the other half later on. It's like, why not just wait longer, release all the content? And heck, I think I'd rather pay more money for a larger product like that coming out than having to pay as it comes out. But I guess it's like they're hoping that, if somebody doesn't like what they see, then they're not forcing the player to buy it, which I can kind of get behind. So it's like, I'm always torn about how I feel about season passes and pre-announced DLC.
I'm interested to see, I guess the way they're going to monetize this is they're going to have like a heavy amount of customization with skins for guns and helmets and clothing.
That's stuff that I'd rather pay for than have to worry about unlocking or something like that, because I mean, it's in previous Call of Duty, it's always been, it's like, oh, you choose your weapon camo based off of like the skills that you have acquired with it. Like, it was always like headshot kills in Modern Warfare 2 would get you better.
Well, and I'm sure there'll still be some of that.
Yeah.
But they'll have like really
cool ones. They'll
have like
the really cool ones be the ones that you pay for. So I'm cool with that. Like I said, everything that I'm seeing about it has just been hitting the right notes. So I'm sure I'll buy it and then I'll just be disappointed, but we'll see. Everything that I'm seeing has led me to believe that we're kind of back. We might be back to the golden days.
Yeah, I also saw that Call of Duty Modern Warfare is the cover story for Game Informer's new issue. Mm-hmm. So if you want to read more about the game, I guess.
Yeah.
You can go search that out.
I know they probably won't do it, but I really just want a remaster of Modern Warfare 2 to release with this.
I feel like at this point, that would be a distraction from this.
I know.
This is too good for them to put a distraction on.
Maybe they'll do what Ubisoft did with Assassin's Creed 3 and release it as like part of like a thing that you can get like
6 months later.
Extra, yeah. Like that they have, so that way they have some more time to work. Once the bulk of the team is done working on the game, they can have like the support team just worry about supporting the game, and then they can have like a big bulk of the development team start finishing up a remaster of Modern Warfare 2.
You know what would be actually really cool is if they took maps from Modern Warfare 1, 2, and 3 and just gutted them and remastered them completely with new, mm-hmm. everything looks different, but basic, you know, layout is still the same, and then put them into the new game as like new type game maps. And, you know, you might have to adjust
as like a free thing. That would have to be a free add-on for me. I wouldn't buy it otherwise.
Well, yeah, because all the DLC's free. But the one problem is now they've got this whole door system where you can go through doors now by opening them, or mm-hmm. and you can either kick them in or you can peek and then sneak in.
Yeah.
So, like, that whole thing would have to be built into the game, because a lot of the doors in the previous game, they were either fixed closed or fixed, like, the walls were all fixed. You couldn't interact with them.
Yeah, they've never had a true destruction system like the Frostbite engine had, and pretty much had the exclusive on for years.
Oh, and by the way, tying this back to our last story about Gamescom, I think they announced that they're going to reveal the story trailer at Gamescom. So that's probably what Activision is showing at that.
Yeah, because they didn't really show a whole lot with the release trailer, so, or like the worldwide release.
Well, I feel like they always lead with their first trailer is always multiplayer, their second is always campaign, and then the last they always do zombies or whatever the zombies analog is right before release.
For this, it'll probably be Spec Ops or whatever.
I think it is. Yeah, it's Spec Ops again. That came about in Modern Warfare 2, right?
Mm-hmm, correct.
I don't remember. It was an okay mode, but
I thought it was kind of cool. The weird thing, I got into it way after I played Modern Warfare 2. It's like after I had completely gutted out playing online, and I had like 24 days of playing time of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 multiplayer, that I got into playing the Spec Ops. There was something else. I thought Spec Ops got remastered at some point. There was some game where Spec Ops got remastered.
Well, I don't think they remastered. I just think they brought that mode back.
They might have. It might have been
Advanced Warfare had that mode with the, where you were wearing the, what do you call it, the mech suits.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like Spec Ops, but it was different. And Modern Warfare 3 had it again, didn't it?
I think what happened was is that it was
and almost all the other ones, it was zombies.
I remember playing it, but not on Modern Warfare 2. So that's what I was wondering. I could have sworn that Spec Ops got like remastered in some point, but maybe I'm just thinking of it wrong. It might have been when they released Modern Warfare Remastered. They had like that as part of it, or maybe I'm just thinking of that because
that game didn't have it.
I don't know.
Well, anyway. So you mentioned earlier the stopwatch and how in the game the watch on your wrist is the real time.
Mm-hmm.
So they also built a watch that is a Tamagotchi that they're calling the Tamagunchi. Now, the Tamagotchi was this little keychain thing that 20 years ago or whatever, you had to keep it alive. It was like a little alien in your pocket, and you had to feed it, clean up after it, and basically take care of it to keep it alive. And it was like the size of a little tiny egg keychain. Well, they are taking that idea and calling it the Tamagunchi, and it replaces your watch in the game, and it lives off of your kills in the multiplayer. So to keep your Tamagunchi alive, you have to keep killing at a certain pace. The question is, like, once it dies, like, is it like a record to see how long you can keep it alive? And it, like, there's like a leaderboard, or is it just a competition with yourself? And when it dies, do you lose it and you have to get a new one? Like, I wonder how that's actually going to work, and if they're going to have like customization. And in addition to that, if they're having a Tamagotchi, what other cool ideas are they going to have to replace your stopwatch? That, like, you don't play Destiny, but in Destiny, when you pull out your ghost, they eventually created these like hologram things that pop up out of your ghost, and you could have it display information. And they also let your banner, your player banner, you could have information displayed, like how many kills you got in multiplayer, what your rank was, any of that kind of stuff. So the question is, will they do that with these watches where they'll have special watches that count your kills or show you your kill to death ratio or stats or display something to people that kill you? I don't know, but I can just think there'd be a lot of really fun ways for them to mess around with that as a cosmetic, since when you're in game, you only really see your hands and your gun. So if you get cosmetics for your character, you're not going to see those unless they're on their wrist.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I think...
Did you figure out what you were thinking about with the Spec Ops?
What I was thinking was that when you do the AC-130 mission in...
Modern Warfare 1,
they redid that entire level in Modern Warfare 2 for one of the Spec Ops missions. And that's what I was thinking that got remastered. But it didn't. It was just the original mission. It was the same map. They had just kind of remastered it for, not really remastered it, but like put it in Modern Warfare 2 graphics. It was the Spec Ops mission Overwatch. And that also reminds me of the mission Big Brother, which was the other one where you were in the helicopter. And I remember playing the crap out of both of those missions because they were fun, because you either got to be an AC-130 or you got to be a chopper gunner. So
our next story, Microsoft has purchased the publishing rights for Psychonauts 2 and Wasteland 3. So Psychonauts 2 is developed by Double Fine Productions, who they announced they had acquired at E3. And last year, they acquired InXile Entertainment, who's the developer of Wasteland 3. Both of those games were crowdfunded on the website Fig. So I'm not super familiar with Fig, but after reading about it, it seems like these games were crowdfunded, and the people that invested in the game were expecting a specific return based on the number of units sold, and they had some guarantees about what they would receive. But Microsoft is paying out above their initial investment. So like, let's say you put $1,000 in, I think you're getting like $1,300 back or $1,300 and change. Basically, they're giving 130%+ of your initial investment back to the people that invested in these two games. But this kind of just makes sense. Like, these are first party studios now. Of course, you want to get those IP rights and publishing rights back under your roof. And those were probably intertwined a little bit with the Fig platform and the purchase, so they had to sort that out with the lawyers and make sure it seems like they compensated people fairly. I mean, they probably are making less than they would have if these games had gone to market and been super successful, but it also protects those people from losses or not making money if these games came out and were not super huge. So
Cool.
Let's move on to some quick hits. If you're new, the quick hits are the short stories of the week, the stuff that we don't have as much to say about, but it is very interesting. Usually only the good stuff makes the list anyway. But the first one is Anthem finally got their big update that they've been teasing basically since launch, which was delayed and delayed and delayed because of the trouble with the game. It was update 1.3, and it arrives with their in-game activity, the Cataclysm, which is kind of a timed event where you have to like get to these areas, clear them, and then get to another area, and at the end, you got to do it before time runs out, and there's a leaderboard. I'm kind of just ranting about the very little I know about it because I couldn't be bothered to boot it up myself to try it. If I was going to dip back into another looter shooter game, I have Division 2 on deck, and I'm currently playing Destiny 2, so I just don't have room for Anthem in my life. And from what I've seen online, it just seems like this is too little, too late, and most people burned through it a couple times and then were bored, unless they're hardcore Anthem fans. I know you're not high on Anthem.
I didn't realize
at all,
that those people existed.
There are some, like, if you go on Twitch, there are people that play Anthem every day, even though there's very little content to experience. I can't believe it, but I've
seen it. Sounds like a sad existence. Continue.
Moving on. This is why it's the quick hits. Red Dead Redemption 2 has sold 25 million copies. The last time they gave us an update at the 2K, their last quarterly update, it was 24 million. So in a quarter, they sold another million units.
Not bad.
You played all it. Yeah, you definitely did. Because I remember when we launched the podcast,
we were all
playing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I beat it. I think I beat it twice, actually.
Oh, yeah. You finished it the second time?
Mm-hmm. I did finish it the
second
time.
Was that more of a direct playthrough?
The reason why I played it a second time was because what I wanted to do was I wanted to make the correct saves at the right points before there are certain plot points that happen in the game. So
I think that'll be remembered as one of the top five games of this generation. If we look forward to
time. I wouldn't say that.
Really?
I would say it's a very, very good game. The problem is the replay value is not there, and I would say that's pretty evident with the low player base on the online and the amount of people that, because it's an almost 100-hour campaign.
Isn't that why you get that value,
but the problem is that once you play it once, it's like what more do you really need to do? I'm sure as any Rockstar game, there's going to be people who fall in love with it, and that's all they ever play because they have so much fun with it, and that's fine. But I don't think that there's enough to it to warrant it being an all around top game of this generation.
Well, I think that it doesn't have to have replay value or multiplayer to be one of the best games of the generation.
To me, it does. Because I would say that's a point of contention I guess we could have, is that for me, I have to be able to play the game and keep playing it all the time.
So after my 80 hours, I've done most of I did all the campaign and some of the side content, but there's more side content plus all the hunting and fishing and wanted and posters and training horses. Yeah.
Which the thing is, I've done all of those by this point.
And how can you not say that after getting 100 hours of enjoyment that that's not an amazing game?
I said it's a good game, like I said, but I don't think you can base a game that is so one-dimensional. I obviously in the term that it's just single player. Obviously they have the online, which
okay. So what's an example of a game you'd put as a game of the generation?
I can't say it's to speak to this generation, but if we want to talk about the previous generation, the 360 generation, Battlefield 3.
I'd put that in top five.
I would 100% put Battlefield 3.
This is where we agree to disagree,
in the top
good
five
sir.
Of the 360 generation. Just because the story was fine. I had fun with it.
You wouldn't put anything like Bioshock, because that's a linear story. You wouldn't put that in top five?
I've never played Bioshock, so I can't speak to that.
Okay.
So I won't talk about what I haven't played.
Okay, we'll leave that there, because I feel like we have a lot to say. Maybe we'll have a Game of the Generation episode where we just argue about this for an hour.
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay, so Gears 5, back to Gears 5. We started off the episode with some Gears 5 news. They announced that they're doing a bunch of custom accessories and consoles for Gears 5.
The console looks really cool.
Yeah, the console. The console is an Xbox One X Gears 5 limited edition. It's $499, but listen, everything you get with this: for the price of a normal Xbox One X, you get the console, which features the Omen submerged in ice and snow. It's their first limited edition Xbox One X. I'm reading some of their little press release here. Since the Project Scorpio edition, it features a never-before-seen dark translucent casting and laser-etched cracks across the console's icy top surface, with snow drifting across a golden locust symbol on the back. I got to say, it does look really cool. Now, here's everything it comes with. It comes with the Xbox Wireless Controller Kate Diaz Limited Edition, which is modeled to look like Kate's armor in the game.
Yep.
It comes with Gears 2, Gears 3, Gears 4, Gears 1 Ultimate Edition, and Gears 5 Ultimate Edition. So every Gears game except for Judgment, which we don't talk about. And then 1 month membership to Xbox Game Pass and 1 month membership to Xbox Live Gold, in case you don't already have those. And then in-game Ice Kate and Ice Jack character skins. All of that for the same price you'd pay for the console. That's a lot of games.
That's a lot of value.
Now, all those games are also in Game Pass, so you could just buy an Xbox One X and buy Game Pass. But you would own those games, not just have them through a subscription. Now, you can also buy the controller by itself, which is out on August 20th, and it comes with the Ice Kate character skin. Then they're also having a limited edition Kate Diaz Xbox Pro charging stand. So this is it matches the controller design, and you set the controller on it, and it'll charge. So it's like a little dock. And then they're doing a headset from Razer, so a Razer Thresher headset that is Gears themed, and it has the same color scheme as the other two items. And then a Razer turret, which is the couch-based keyboard and mouse for Xbox One. They're doing a Gears version of that with the same color scheme as the console and controller. The thing that looks the coolest to me is the controller and maybe the headset. The console is really cool, but I'm not going to buy another console just to get a custom one, right? you're not going to either, right?
No, especially not at this point in the lifespan of the Xbox One.
Although mine is really
starting to... you might be in the market for one, because it seems like you're about to have a Chernobyl meltdown on yours.
So I reached out to the Xbox team, the Xbox Insider team, because I'm in the Insider preview, and I filed a bug report, and they investigated it, and they got back to me, and they're like, hey, we did a, you know, we looked through your diagnostics, whatever, and yeah, this is definitely an issue with your console, not the software, so you're going to need to get that replaced. And so my options are a $250 service or a $500 replacement. Not great. I just need to limp along for one more year.
I was gonna say, like I said, you're gonna be riding that thing on fumes. It's gonna be like melted plastic in the back as you limp into the Microsoft store or whatever to buy your Scarlet.
The thing is, though, I kind of don't want it to be limping because, like my 360, I still pull that out of the closet occasionally to do stuff.
Sounds like you should just stop playing Xbox then.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's already overheating constantly.
Yeah.
Even when it's not hot, that's why I thought it was gonna blow up on you. Anyway, oh, you know what I forgot? They're also doing a Seagate game drive, like an external hard drive that is themed with the console. So you can get a white, it's like a white snow-covered external hard drive with the Gears Omen on it. And you can get that in a 2 terabyte, just like most of the Seagate game drives. Or if you go to GameStop, you can get a 5 terabyte. External Gears of War 5 hard drive.
If you go to GameStop.
Hey, I mean, having exclusives like this that some people will really care about is one of the only ways that GameStop stays in business.
Yeah, that's facts right there.
Right. That's it for the quick hits, except for every week.
Talk about Game Pass.
Game Pass and games with gold.
I was looking at Game Pass. And I'm reading the tweet right now.
Yeah,
of people don't seem to be particularly impressed with what they added, because the thing they said was, remember what we said about surprise editions? And what the top comment is, 2 PC games and a Jackbox party you shouldn't have.
read the 3 games. So hang on, let me contextualize it first. They tweeted out, how do you guys feel about like surprise announcements or something like that? And then waited a day. And then they tweeted again and were like, hey, remember when we said we'd have surprise announcements? And then the 3 games are really lackluster.
Yeah,
so
there's 2 PC games. Those are Space Hulk Tactics, which I've never heard of in my life. And same with Where the Water Tastes Like Wine, another game that I've also never heard of.
That sounds like a Julia Roberts movie.
It sounds like a chick flick. And then the console was a Jackbox Party Pack 2.
And I don't know how many Jackbox Party Packs there are, but I think there's a lot more than 2. So it's probably a several generations old
and
version.
I'm looking at the games on it. I'm like, none of these sound interesting.
So. Yeah. And then Games with Gold, Gears of War 4 is free right now. So you can go get that and do that Road to Gears 5 that I was talking about earlier. You can get like gold weapon skins. They're called gilded, but they're basically gold.
Yeah.
And then Forza Motorsport 6 is coming later this month on the 16th.
We kind of talked about that last week.
Yep, Torchlight is available now, and then Castlevania Lords of Shadow will be available on the 16th as well. That's it for this week.
Yes, it is.
Do we know if Spencer is going to be back next week?
I think he should be. I don't see why he wouldn't be.
Good. I miss him.
It's all right. We've done just fine without him.
We don't need you, Spencer.
Yeah. What we need is Henry Cavill to take Spencer's spot.
I love that you find a way to shoehorn that in every episode now.
One of these days, we're just going to kick Spencer to the curb, and Henry Cavill is going to become a permanent resident on the Multiform podcast, from which he will Skype in from the UK or wherever he lives, like probably LA.
Look, if we could get just 5 minutes of his time in his trailer on Skype, that's all I need. Yep. I can get 20 questions in 5 minutes. I will go so fast.
Oh, yeah. One word answers only, Henry.
Okay, well, that's it for this week. Thanks for listening. I'm Tim Shelton. You can follow me on Twitter at Tim Shelton, or you can email the show with any questions or feedback. questions@multiforumpodcast.com.
And then I am Gus Harden. You can follow me on Twitter @Gus_Harden.
See you next week.
New episodes of Multiform post every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can find us and subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, or your podcast app of choice.